Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. To redeem the time just simply means, in our common language, to make it count. Make it count. When our Savior redeemed us, and it's the same word, He made us His by the purchase price of His own precious blood. When you redeem the time, you make it yours. And there's a price to pay. It's to make it yours, according to our text, by the purchase price of walking in wisdom and speaking of Christ. To redeem the time, that can be taken as a broad statement regarding every aspect of our lives and all manner of situations. But it's clear what Paul is specifically referring to here. And so let's take a look at that for a minute. To redeem the time here. The phrase redeeming the time is sandwiched between these phrases. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, and let your speech be always with grace. And so on in verse 6. So you see what he means by redeeming the time. Notice that the way that you will know how to answer every man, you see where it says that you may know how you ought to answer every man? You'll know what to say when someone asks or a situation arises where something needs to be said. The way that you will know how to answer every man is by that being the way you always talk. You see that? Let your speech be always like that. Always with grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know. It's not that you know something and then every once in a while you have an occasion to say it. Say it all the time. Talk that way all the time, and then you'll know when there's a need, when there's trouble, when there's someone asking, honestly. You'll know what to say because you've always been saying it. What comes out of your mouth is a product of the condition of your heart. Again, it's not just, you know, that every once in a while we talk about the Lord. It can't be that way. If we're selfish and proud, as we are by nature, our flesh, then all of our words are going to be about ourselves. Or that which promotes ourselves. So then when the time comes that somebody needs a word of real encouragement or hope or comfort, don't try to fake that. You can't fake that. The kind of speech our text is talking about when it uses the word answer, know how to answer, how you ought to answer, that kind of speech must be consistent with the rest of our speech, or it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean we go around, you know, like the super spiritual, I guess, or whatever you'd say, and, you know, we're on the way to Burger King, and we say, thank the Lord for Burger King, you know, or what, you know how people are. We ought to always be thankful for everything, but not in a flippant, if you're always using religious language, then again, it doesn't mean anything, does it? It's got to be sincere. It's got to be genuine. That's what he's saying here. Let your speech be always like that, seasoned with the grace of God, not rotely or just putting on a show, but in sincerity. And then, when the time comes to make it count, when the words that you say are so critical, when there's a turning point, maybe in somebody's life, and you need to say the right thing, you'll know what to say. You'll know how to say it. Because you always do. You always glorify Him. You always look to Him and depend on Him. Your life is a beacon of what they need to hear. It's not just what you do in a certain situation, it's what you are. The word always here is indispensable. And not just the word, but the reality of that. Always. Remember chapter 3. Let's look together at chapter 3, verse 12. Remember this in the context. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You see, as the elect of God, the fact that we are the elect of God is one thing. But if we put on what we put on, if we wear what we wear, if we walk around in something, that means we're constantly aware of it. We're constantly exhibiting that. Being chosen, being loved of God when you were a wretch. God picking you out, a worm, the worst worm that was crawling around. And God picking you out of the fire and saving you. God having mercy on you when you were spitting in His face. God loving you when you were a wretch. That's how we walk, you see. It's not just a doctrine we believe, but we see ourselves in that light. And you can't see yourself in that light without constantly praising Him and thanking Him for His grace, for free grace. As the elect of God, as one that was so despicable, it took the precious blood of His Son to wash us clean. Put these things on. Kindness, mercy, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, you see how he brings that out? That makes you think, doesn't it? Do I have a problem with anybody today? It's one thing to talk about forgiveness and agree with forgiveness and approve of forgiveness. It's another thing to actually forgive somebody. Do you have a problem with anybody today? Is it really that big of a deal? When you look in the mirror, is it still that big of a deal? Even as Christ forgave you, how did He forgive you? When you didn't deserve it. Well, they don't deserve it. That's why it's called forgiveness. And above all these things, put on love, which again is the bond. That's the love is the thing that makes all of these things one thing. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. If you're doing this as the elect of God, how can you not be thankful? If you're doing this as one that would never have turned to God if he hadn't found you and saved you. If you're doing this as one that would have never chosen him, but he chose you, how can we not be thankful? And look at this part. Look at this part. Verse 16, is this not our text? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That doesn't mean you go around saying, I know more than you and I've got things to teach you. But you know, there are people in my life that I can't hardly be around them without learning something. Do you know anybody like that? That's what he's talking about. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatsoever. You see that word always in our text in that? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's our text. It's not what you do in a certain situation. It's what you are causing what you do, what you say, even the way you think. And we are what we are by the grace of God. God gets all the glory in this. There's nothing wrong with commending one another when it's meaningful, but only with the understanding that it is the Lord that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let me say this, parents, maybe grandparents, maybe aunts and uncles, make it count. You have your children for a little while. You have your grandchildren for just a little while. And then you don't. Not like then. Redeem the time when they're little. Let all your speech to them and around them be seasoned with grace. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a principle that has been taught from the beginning. This is a priority that was set by God a long, long time ago. Deuteronomy 6:1. It's clear right up front here in verse 1, Deuteronomy 6:1, that he's not just talking about the Ten Commandments. We see that word commandment of the Lord, but listen. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land, whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. That's the whole thing. Always. Whatever you do in chapter 3 that we saw, whatever you do, do it that way. In the fear of the Lord, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, our children and our grandchildren, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, to do what God says, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. See that? Not just on the wall, but in your heart. Wasn't that the new covenant? Wasn't that one of the four or five things promised in the new covenant? I'll write my law in your heart. It won't just be a standard that you're looking to live up to. but it'll be who you are. You'll love the law of God after the inward man. And no, if you love it, you know you can't measure up, don't you? You think little of the law if you think you're keeping it. That's to despise the law. But we love the law of God after the inward man. How to perform it, we can't find it in ourselves. But we would. Shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Isn't that beautiful? Does it sound like your life? Does it sound like my life? The way that I live in this world? I talk about the Lord and His grace, His mercy all the time. Just sit around having conversation about it. Parents, grandparents, even aunts and uncles, redeem the time. Fathers, particularly fathers, redeem the time in your household as God's appointed authority in your home. Mothers, redeem that time when they're always hanging onto your dress and they're always crawling up in your arms. Make that count. Walk. See the word walk in our text? In other words, behave in a way that's glorifying to God, and say that which is characterized this way in our text, grace. Isn't that, how would you characterize your conversation in this world? May it be so that God will make it so that our very speech would be characterized by His grace. Tell your children who God is. It's not complicated, is it? Just tell them who God is. You know who God is. Tell them what we owe Him. Tell them what they are before Him. Tell them of His mercy towards sinners like us. Tell them of the Savior in no uncertain terms, so that they might know where everything comes from. They might know who deserves all praise and all thanksgiving and gratitude. They might know that He's their only refuge in trouble and sorrow, fear. They should learn that early. I'm here for you, but the Lord, we all need Him, me and you. Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. You think, how am I going to teach my children of the grace of God? It's not that complicated. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. What would some of you do? Let me ask you this. What would you do? What would you pay to redeem the time that's now gone? There's no price now for that. There's no price that can get that back. It must be paid right now. For the time right now. What's gone is gone. We never realized then how precious that time was, how needful it was to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know it now? Do you know it today? I wonder if we do. I wonder if I do. If only we had said more before they grew up. Will you say more before they die? Before you do? What a wonderful summary of all that we should and must say. Grace. It's the gospel of God's grace. To speak grace is to speak the gospel. It's to tell the good news of the Savior, because this world, your children are going to find out, aren't they, before long, what this world is, what heartache is. It's fine if they don't know that when they're little. I hope they don't. I hope they never do. But it won't be long. And they're going to need a refuge. There's only one. To speak grace is to speak of the God of all grace. Talk about who he is and what he's done for us. How mighty he is. How you can cast your whole soul upon him and rest. To speak grace is to talk about free grace. Grace that's not only undeserved, but unsought. It's to speak of sovereign grace. It's to tell of the God who has mercy on whom he will. He is God. And they've got to know him. They've got to know him. They've got to know him, and who's going to tell them? It's to speak of unconditional grace, because that's the only kind there is. And that's so comforting. Let them know that they don't need to measure up. Let them know never to be downhearted, but to look to Christ. To speak grace is to speak of almighty grace. He's the captain of salvation. He's the champion of our souls. He doesn't try. He don't beg. They need to know that one, because they're going to hear of somebody else in this world. To speak grace is to speak of conquering grace. To let them know that everything in their heart is going to rebel. They're rebels against God. But God can make a rebel a son. It's to speak of irresistible grace. You just need him, don't you? You just need him. Because when he's for you, even you can't be against you. Let's speak of it. By God's grace, let's speak of it. Always. Listen to Psalm 45:1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak. That's our text. I speak. David said, I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. That's what our text is saying to you. May your tongue be the pen of a ready writer and say this, thou art fairer than the children of men. grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. May God pour his grace into our lips so that nothing else flows out as it is with our Savior. All grace, whether it's spoken grace, whether it's quiet, powerful grace working in your heart, all grace is in Christ. There's no grace apart from him. Let this season our speech, the person of God's Son. May we never give any sinner, however dear they are to us, any hope of grace apart from the Lord Jesus. No hope apart from him. His grace is sovereign. He has mercy upon whom he will now. And somebody who hates the Lord always will think, well, what about the other ones? How is that fair? So someone who knows the Lord and loves the Lord will say, bless God, he has mercy on sinners. When he will, he has mercy. There's no such thing as grace that lets sinners perish. No such thing. If there's grace, there's salvation. Grace is saving. All of it. It's not God doing his best for you. It's God doing everything for you. That's what grace is. You need his grace, and I do too. If God be for us, who in the world can be against us? That's the grace we're talking about. And look, speaking with grace, saying grace is not just being kind in your words. She's so gracious. Well, that can mean a couple of different things. There's not anything wrong with that, being kind and graceful in your speech. But this grace, the grace of God that we're talking about, it so permeates our being as his sons, always, that when an answer is needed for someone, and doesn't everyone need an answer? There are some questions that have to be answered in this world. How can I be saved? What must I do to be saved? How can God be just and justify me? Will God have mercy on me? That's what that leper came to find out. Lord, if you want to, you can. And I'm going to tell you this now. When an answer is needed now, and that grace so permeates who we are, that's by his grace that it does. Then when somebody needs an answer, that answer is grace. And you give that answer because it's all you have. That's the answer for every situation. Grace. You're having trouble. What's the answer to your problems? Grace. You have to look to him who is gracious to sinners. When somebody's in trouble, when they're afraid, when they're their heart's broken, the answer is not everything's going to be okay. That's not the answer. The answer is not time heals all wounds. That's not it. The answer is not just follow your heart. The answer is grace. You see that? The answer is you need his grace. That's all you need is the grace of God. That's why it must be that which we speak of. You require grace because you're a sinner. If you're going to have grace, it's because God wills it. Lord, if you will, you'll only know grace by grace. Grace can only season your speech if there's grace in your heart. To say grace is just another way of saying we need Him. We need His mercy. We need His truth. We need Him to be for us. Remember what we said about our text not just being about saying nice things when it says, let your speech be always with grace. Turn with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:9. This is what our text is about. Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established. That's the opposite of being carried about with every wind of doctrine. Established. Firm. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. You see what the word grace means there? It's a doctrine. Don't be carried about with other doctrines, but be established with this one. Grace. You see what I'm saying? It's not just saying kind things. Somebody's soft-spoken and they always say pleasant things. Oh, they're so graceful. That's not what we're talking about. It's the doctrine of grace, not with meats. And that's just representative of outward religion. It's what goes in, you know. We're not going to let anything in that's bad. But what about what's already in? That's what's bad, our Lord said. It's not about that. It's not about religious conformance. Those things have not profited them that have been occupied therein. What's good is that the heart be established with grace as opposed to false doctrine, you see. What's profitable is grace, doctrinal grace. When the heart is established with grace, the doctrine, the teaching, the knowledge, the understanding of grace, then our speech will be what our text exhorts it to be, exhorts us to say. Biblical doctrinal grace, which is all the things we've described it as, free and sovereign and almighty and irresistible. And here's a word we haven't used yet, distinguishing. God has grace upon whom He will. And His grace is distinguishing. That's why we come to Him the way we do. Lord, when you're coming in mercy, don't pass me by. You ought to. You have every reason to, but don't pass me by. Listen to Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Biblical doctrinal grace is what kind of grace? It's sure grace. It's not up in the air grace. It's not available grace. Listen, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, all those who are in Christ, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Not just from the lineage of Abraham, but those who have the same faith Abraham had. Faith from God. Faith that's His gift. Who is the father of us all. This is what our speech is of. Uncertain grace that relies upon the graceless is not grace. The only true answer for a sinner. Now you think about this. If somebody needs an answer, why is my life full of pain and sorrow and I'm hopeless? Why me? Why did my loved one die? There's just one answer that you can give them. Grace. Because it's not about why. That's the Lord's business. It's about what now. What they need to understand is that God's God. And the reason people die is because He kills them. Is that blunt enough? That's why people die. The Lord said, I kill and I make alive. The only true answer for a sinner. What's the question? Doesn't matter. The only true answer for any sinner is this unconditional, sovereign grace of God. Unconditional, I say, because there is no condition a sinner is able to meet. There is no condition a sinner is required to meet. Salvation for those named in the covenant of God's grace is conditioned only upon Christ's obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. So for us, it's unconditional. That's the only grace that will answer my need. You need an answer? That's it. Sovereign, because grace that's up to you is a mockery. Offering grace that requires a dead sinner to take a step is to ridicule that sinner on his way to hell. Remember that one verse again. I want to repeat this one again from chapter 3 where we read a while ago, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ live in you richly in all of his wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God. And then what's the next word? Say it. Speak it. Teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Not grace in your book knowledge. Grace in your hearts to the Lord. To the Lord. The word of Christ dwelling in us. You see, that's what teaches us, is the word. How are we going to teach anybody until we're taught? What teaches us? The word of Christ. And when it dwells in us richly, the word of Christ teaches us that grace is sovereign and free and distinguishing. And that's the answer that every sinner needs. What they need to hear. How many times did somebody ask the Lord a question that he completely ignored it and told them what they needed to hear? Might have to look that up sometime. I know it's several. What they need to hear is grace. The grace of God in Christ. Time well spent to God, according to our text. Now you think about this. According to the word that we're looking at this morning, God says that time well spent is time that benefits sinners. Is that not it? Is that what he's saying? There's a whole lot more we could say about this one verse, but let's consider this finally. There's not a thing in this world wrong with enjoying this life. God's given us so much to enjoy. But let's remember always why we're here. You know, the Lord specifically prayed, Father, don't take them out of this world. just keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil. Why do you suppose that is? I can think of some scriptural answers to that, because God, as we've talked about this before, God is uniquely glorified when he's glorified in a sinner. We're going to glorify him now forever. And it's going to be way better than this, but it's not going to be this. You see what I mean? He is uniquely honored when a sinner bows before him in his sin, in his wretchedness, with that horrible nature that's ours, inhibiting every spiritual goodness that there is, and yet is able to sing his praises. He's uniquely glorified in that. And I don't think it's for our sakes, do you? Because we'd be better off there. Paul said, that's far better. It's far better for me. But what did he say? For you, this is needful. That's our text. Toward them that are without. Every man that needs an answer, have it. Say it. Give it. What is it? Grace. Remember why we're here. Remember that the Lord said, he said, I'm the light of the world. But then he said, you're the light of the world. We reflect the light of the Savior. He said, you're the salt of the earth. This word seasoned in our text refers to this. Seasoned with salt. What do you mean? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If salt is not salty, what are you going to season it with? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Who lit us? Why is there light in us? God did that. He don't put us under a bushel. He put us in this world. He gave us friends and companions and acquaintances, a circle of influence, people whose lives touch ours in some way or another. And he don't cover that up. But he put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. That's what God's doing. Let your light, he brings this home right here to my heart. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and say, what a guy, no? And give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. If the light that you're shining holds any glory for yourself, it's not God's light. You see the point of all of that, of what we are in this earth? The glory of the Father. That's what it's all about. The glory of our Father. God is glorified in the gospel by the saving of sinners through the ministry of the gospel. The Savior told us that the Father is glorified in that we bear much fruit. And the fruit we bear is a product of us abiding in Christ, not the flesh. So this is the exhortation. Always, all the time. Don't just dredge it up, you know, when somebody's crying or when there's a funeral. Always be this. An object of the free electing grace of God that has something to tell. May God make it so that we exude His grace in all of our dealings in this world, the gospel of His free and sovereign, almighty grace in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.